Welcome to another of our Booktown Blether podcasts. We're delighted that so many of you are starting to listen and listen regularly, which is great. As you know, we try and do a mix of special interviews. So you've heard one with one of the residents of Open Book and also Anne Barclay. We've got another one lined up, but we thought we would do another of our ordinary podcasts this week. It's still just Lou and I. Ruth is I think maybe in the skies right now. Is she flying Australia?
She's either in the skies or possibly landed somewhere.
Possibly landed, right.
I don't know where.
But So you will be hearing Ruth's dulcet tones again in the future. So we have got some books to talk about, but we've got quite a few other things to talk about. So let's start, Lou, with the subject that you wanted to talk about this time.
I did. Yes, Jane, wanted this podcast, Booktown Blether, to not only be about books and the bookshops, but the town.
Yes, very much.
And the community.
Yeah.
So I just want to have a quick, serious word about a petition that I've started. It's online with change.org, but it's also paper petitions around the town about the closure of our post office in Wigtown and also the imminent closure of the Bank of Scotland mobile banking van. I think that's going to be stopping in May, as far as I can tell.
Right.
So the petition is to try and persuade Link, which is the national organisation that runs the cash machines.
Okay.
So, and the post office counters to set up a banking hub in Wigtown. They've got one in Cuckoobury, which seemingly is very successful.
Right.
And going from comments that have come through on the Facebook post, other people have got good experience of banking hubs in other places.
Right.
Where they've lost their post office services and they've lost their banking services. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in Wigtown, we've nothing now. We've got a cash machine that works half the time. And that's it.
Right. Yeah, you can get cash back, can you, from the co-op?
You can.
But you need to buy something, I'm guessing, to get your cash back.
Yeah, and Briars and Gravers stepped up as well.
That's right.
But we really do need these services back with us. We need.
Oh, we do. I mean, you'll be the same, Lou, but certainly for me with Funky Tunnel Books, which is a publisher and a bookshop, and we also sell a range of goods, which are designs by Pauline Patterson of various places in the area. It started off with Wigtown itself. But, you know, a day doesn't go by that I don't get an order one way or another, either for, you know, one's come in today for a copy of House That Sugar Built. One came in 2 days ago for the same title. We're about to launch a picture book called Yum. I've had 30 pre-orders for that. And the problem is, it's okay if you know you've got something, you know, when you've got something to post that's time is a factor. You know, like something like some of the platforms like Amazon, we do sometimes get orders through there and Etsy or eBay. And there's loads of people in the town and booksellers as well and other businesses that, of course, we're using online platforms. Mm. And you've got to go, if you can, you've got to get to Newton Stewart before 5 o'clock because that's when Newton
Stewart.
It's 4:30
now.
Closes?
Closes, but the collection. The postie collection.
Oh, is it 4:30?
I think it's 4:30.
Right.
Yeah. Or otherwise it doesn't go that day.
And yeah. I mean, I was in a situation a couple of weeks ago where I I had stuff that really needed posting. You know, I set off from here. Newton Stewart's in the opposite direction to where I live. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, somebody's going to be open. So I stopped at Kirkina. I stopped at Warp Hell.
Oh.
And then I thought, well, I can either go down to Port William or all the way to Whithorn.
Yeah.
And these are quite big distances for us to be travelling to post a parcel.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the end, I gave up and I went home. and I went down to Whithorn the next morning to get it posted. But you're running the risk of of losing custom.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we do have the ability, because we drive and we've got cars, to be able to go and try and, race to a
find
post office.
Somewhere. Yeah.
But there's so many people in the town who either are elderly or, don't have access to a car. It's vital that we get a post office back here for the success of the town, really.
And that's right.
The support of the people who live here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the impact is if we have to post something, we have to close the shop, as you've just explained, it's ridiculous to try and do it at the end of the day because you're just running about like a chuck.
Yes.
So you're losing revenue through the shop if you're closing the shop to go and post a parcel.
Yes.
Like, it could take up to an hour to try and do that.
That's
crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's other impacts. You can't deposit cash.
No.
All the other little bits and bobs that we used to be able to do that we took for granted have all gone.
Yes.
I know that there's online things that you can do. I know that you can get the postie to come and collect your mail, and perfectly understand that people will do that. The problem
It's only if you know in advance. That's the problem, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not everybody's got access to be able to do that online.
No.
The other problem with that is that if we do that, and we do that on a regular basis, unfortunately, post office counters can argue that there's no need for a post office.
All right.
Because through no fault of our own, because we've got to do it that way, we're using online services. It's a catch 22.
Yes.
I'm frightened that we're going to fall into, and that'll be it.
Yes.
So, the petition is, you'll find the link on Facebook, it's on I Love Wigtown, and the Sharing Residents Facebook post as well. When you go onto change.org, the first place you land, it'll ask you for a donation.
Right.
It's quite important, I think. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there is a skip button. You don't have to do the donation.
Right, right.
You can just skip that. And I think the next page you have to skip as well, because they're quite keen for you to do the donation, obviously. But you really don't have to do that. Just your signature. And you can share if you want. It would be great if you could share to Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Sorry, X.
Oh, yes.
But and if you can also, if you see any of the Facebook conversations, if you can make a comment, that would be brilliant as well. Because what I'm going to try and do is collate all the comments that are made, because that's important, because everybody's got a different use of the post office. They've all got different attitudes towards the post office or the bank and how they want to use them in the future. So there will be things that we won't think about that other people, it's important to them.
Yes.
So just to get a very widespread, the information from everybody in the community would be great if you could do that. And as I say, there's paper petitions as well in Cobwebs, Macca's Action, New Chapter, Reading Lassies, the Old Bank Bookshop. I'll ask SCAD as well. I haven't asked SCAD yet.
and possibly Foggy Toddle books.
Oh, well, yes. Yep. I think we can. Thank you very much.
For those people that can't get online or don't want to share their information that way online. Yeah, really important.
It is. No, it is. And well, you know, done to you, Lou, for instigating the petition.
If, you know, to be honest, it might not work. It probably won't.
Oh, but still, just.
But we've got to try.
Yes.
Before it's too late, the community council have contacted post office, but have had no reply.
Right.
No response whatsoever.
Because they did seem to be looking for somebody to take on a post office in the town, didn't
they? Put out the general ad that they put out when there's a vacancy for the franchise for a post office counter.
Right, okay.
The banking hub, I'm going to say, is a little bit different, hopefully. As long as we can get interest from an existing postmaster from another office.
Oh, okay.
For example, there's a mobile post office that goes to Garlaston.
Yes, that's right, yes.
I think, is that...
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah, is it the Castle Douglas
branch? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I should look into that. So I'm hoping that we can go down that road.
Well, that would be something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
As opposed to... asking a business to commit, a business in the town to commit to having a counter in their building, which is what the post office want to do at the minute. The banking hub is a different thing. And it will be involved, the banks will be involved as well as the post office counter.
Okay.
That's why we have to talk to Link, because apparently they're the ones that talk to all the banks and sort it out. I might have got lots of that wrong. I apologise now. But yeah, if we don't try, then, you know, you've just got to try these things and see if you can go up against these people and see what they say. Okay.
Well, hopefully, so yes.
Sign if you can. Thank you very much. That's me.
Very good. So other things that are about to happen are that, yes, we will, along with Ruth, will be in Cucubri next week.
Oh, we will.
Because we are doing a pop-up bookshop for Cucubri Book Week. They've got a little book festival that they've put together through there. There is, of course, a lovely bookshop already in Cucubri, Galavidia Books.
It's a lovely bookshop,
But this will be secondhand and will be in the Selkirk Arms. So find us at the bar.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're taking this very seriously, obviously. And you'll find us in the Selkirk Arms. And it'll be, I think there's going to be a variety of you, me, Ruth, and some other people maybe that are...
I think it's just you. Me and Ruth.
Oh, is it? Oh,
I think
okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yes, I'll be there as well because I've got, as we're wearing my publisher hat, I've got two events on. One, Susie Briggs will be reading Yum along with other Scots language titles. And she will be there on World Book Day, which we are going to talk about in a moment. So that's a World Book Day celebration. And, but on the Tuesday, it's Donna Brewster, but it's the event is sold out, I'm afraid. So so I was worrying about I was giving the wrong information, but it was one of the first events to sell out, I'm delighted
that's brilliant.
To say. So Donna Brewster, who is from Wigtown, and hopefully she will come on the podcast at a future time, and she wrote a book called The House That Sugar Built. And that was reissued last year. So Donna has an event next week. So I will be going with my publisher and bookseller hats on to Cucubri next week. But do you want to just say a few words about what's happening here in Wigtown for World Book Day?
World Book Day is next Thursday. I don't know what the date is next Thursday.
7th.
7th. Thank you very much. Yes. And... Well, you'd be better to talk about the kids get book tokens, don't they? So that they can
they do. Yes, it's a UK wide event, annual event to promote reading and books. It's slightly contentious for me as a bookseller because, yeah, the organisation that runs it started making it so that you can exchange the book tokens in various places. And, you know, some of the big supermarkets got involved, which I realise you need publicity-wise and support-wise and all of that and access and everything. I do understand that. But it also, it hits small bookshops quite hard because we have to buy the books in, not at full price, these are special editions. Mm. But we certainly saw, you know, a slight downturn because, you know, the parents were going and basically picking up a book with their shopping. And to me, the whole point of World Book Day is to engage the child in the choice of the book, which I think is largely what happens. But
it's a different experience.
For a couple of years, I didn't take part.
Yeah.
Because I thought, no, this isn't the, you know, but we're back on board this year. And it is. I mean, and certainly in Wigtown, it's being used as a day just to celebrate books and to get everybody involved. Mm-hmm. So Anne Barclay, who you hopefully will have heard on our podcast, if not, please have a listen to it. Anne is the operational director at the Festival Company and is urging everybody in the town to dress up as a book character for World Book Day next Thursday.
So get your thinking caps on as to who you want to dress up as.
So can I ask who you're dressing up as?
See,
now?
I was originally going to do Arietti from The Borrowers.
Right.
Because, as I'll speak about later on, that was one of my favourite books when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And will feature heavily in the window display in Foggy Toddle for World Book Day.
I'm looking forward to seeing this.
But then I thought, that's going to be a bit difficult. So then I went on to Mrs. Tiggywinkle.
Okay.
I know, which is probably going to be even worse.
I would think that, unless you've got a handy set of prickles.
That might be a bit difficult.
I think it might be more challenging.
When I'm in the shop, everything will go flying because I'll have these prickles.
Yes.
So I don't know yet.
No.
But those were the two that I was thinking of and then I instantly persuaded myself not to. So so watch this space. What about you, Jane?
Well, I had thought maybe I should try and dress up as Jenny, who's the character from Yum.
From Yum.
I'm publishing that.
Yes.
Which is actually, or I did wonder because, this podcast just sounds like we're just going to rattle on about ourselves. We are going to talk about some books. You may wish to fast forward because the other big news that we've had as a publisher this week was that copies of our picture book, Shaun of the Vet, have gone out to every primary school in Scotland as part of a project with a charity called Future Vets Scotland, who are trying to encourage and promote the career of veterinary science because numbers are dropping. It's a bit like GPs. It's numbers of people going for the training have been dropping. So, and they're also very much involved in trying to make it more accessible, these courses more accessible for people so they're not daunted by, you know, everything that you need qualification-wise to be a vet. So, this was a project that was sponsored by them. They requested us and we produced a special edition of Shaun of the Vet. And it's gone out this week to every primary school in the whole of Scotland, 2,500 copies. Which I'm glad to say I did not have to do.
No, because that would have been a nightmare.
It would. But Catherine Stables, who is the author and illustrator, sat and did the whole thing, parceled, labelled. I know, she's an absolute star. And she is a working vet herself. So all the information in the books is factual. Mm. But Shaun, I did think about dressing up as Shaun of the vet.
Yes.
Which would involve a bright red wig, but dungarees. So I could either, dungarees are a thing for Jenny or shown at the vet. Sadly, I don't have any dungarees. So, yeah, so anyway, I'll have to give it some thought as well.
Yes. Crikey. And I'm not sure where we are next Thursday either. Well, you'll be in Kukubri.
I'll be in Kukubri.
And yeah, the lovely Isabel will be in Foggy Toddle.
I bet Isabel will dress up as something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of, I shall wander around Wigton as Mrs. Tiggywinkle.
Right.
I'm not going to promise that, but you know, it could happen. Yeah. So lots of things happening at the minute.
Yes.
It's really quite exciting, but very tiring at the same point.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so do you want to just tell us about the borrowers? Well, let's just go straight into the borrowers.
Well, I thought, because we were talking about children and engaging children in books, I got to thinking about my favourite books when I was a child.
Mm.
And I've got a little pile here. You can't see it, but we'll put the pictures up. We did put the pictures up from last time, didn't we?
We're not doing very well at putting pictures up, but we are trying.
Trying. So, yes, The Borrowers are a definite. I just adored The Borrowers.
Do you know, I don't know if I've ever read them.
It was, thought of, see, Mum did this to me. It was the thought of little people in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And every time something went missing, regardless of what it was or how big it was, Mum would always say, oh, The Borrowers have got it.
Oh.
So then I just had this vision of under the floorboards, lots of my toys and Mum's needles and her knitting and everything all disappearing under the floorboards for the borrowers to reuse and utilize. So it was just magical. I just loved The Borrowers. There's been various attempts to put The Borrowers on film.
Yes.
None of which I don't think have been very successful.
Oh, right.
No,
okay.
Sorry, but they're not working for me.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, if you think differently, let us know.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Oh, Nobody's House. Now, this was a telly program. I am not sure, to be quite honest, which came first, the telly program or the book.
Right.
But it's about a ghost in a little boy in a house, and the family move into the house and they meet the ghost.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a fantastic TV series. I don't think it ran for very long.
No.
And probably, I'll definitely put this picture up so that I can see if anybody else saw it and loved it as much as I did. But yeah, I've got a thing about ghosts, so, you know, but it was very good.
Right.
Cat Weasel.
Oh.
Did you know I loved Cat Weasel?
No.
Was he a bit scary?
I never watched it because I just thought it was a bit. I'm thinking of Wurzel Gummidge. That was John Pertwee.
That was John,
Who played Cat Weasel?
Cat Weasel. Was that chat?
Oh,
I'm showing Jane a picture.
Yes, of the front cover of the book.
Jeffrey Belden.
No.
Poor Jeffrey, no. But no, I loved Cat Weasel because
what kind of a character is Cat Weasel?
Crazy.
Oh. Is he is he mythical? No, he isn't.
No,
he's
real
just
person,
an odd person.
But quite odd. Yeah, crazy.
I did
like Cat Weasel. I've just gone in like this is silly. Do you do this? Have you kept the books from your childhood?
Well, I thought I had. And I don't know that I have. Because actually, just before I came out, I tried to find some Little Grey Rabbit. Because I'm just going to mention hares later on. I was trying to think of a theme with hares. And hare is a character. I think I have talked about Little Grey Rabbit for the Christmas edition.
Yes.
And in fact, I will find the Hare and the Easter Eggs book. But I thought I had a whole collection of them and I couldn't see them.
No.
And I've got a feeling I tend to go through these phases of going, oh, what am I holding on to this for?
Yeah, I know.
And because I know I for a long time, I used to like Professor Brainstorm.
Yeah, that's another one. I loved Professor
Brainstorm.
It
was read to us at school. I can't remember. It was primary school. And this teacher read it to us. And I was so that way that only books can, and, you know, and hearing a book being read by somebody. And I loved that.
Yeah.
And I know I had a copy of that for ages, but, you know, I've got a feeling that went as well in the end.
Was that I've still got a book case of the kids' books that I had. And then it goes through that to sort of science fiction.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when the movies came out, you got the book of the movie. So there's Star Wars, Close Encounters, all these paperbacks, which are all a bit, you know, dog-eared and falling apart. The copy of Wurzel Gummidge I've got.
Uh-huh. See, I don't like Wurzel Gummidge either.
Oh.
No. I don't know what it is, but I just never went near. No, I didn't, because I really didn't like the Aunt Sally.
Something Coming
either.
Alive. No, the Aunt Sally was a bit creepy.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't like it.
No, well, the copy I've got, I've obviously wrecked it so much that the front cover has come off and I've made another one.
Oh, well, I think we're going to need a picture of that.
I left that at home. I'll take a picture of it. I've made another one. It's not very good, but.
Well, no, we need to see that.
And another one is The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster.
Ah, and I believe that is also Maggie, who also works with Foggy Toddle. I think that's her very favourite.
Oh, that's, yes, you'll have to have nice.
Discussion over that.
It's,
and I've never read that one.
It's
either.
It's Milo. I've got, yeah. And Milo is just bored with life, basically. He's, you know, he's not happy at all. And a magical toll booth arrives and he goes on a journey. And it's all about learning and words and finding where you should be and finding out where you should go and your journey. And no, it's a great read, but also it's for a kid's book.
Yes.
Those levels of, you know, you can read it just as a fun book and then you can get a bit more from it.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's what happened to me. I just, it was one of those revelation moments.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, with other people, it's Dickens and whatever. With me, it was, yeah, okay. I'm going to read a little bit. Is that okay? So this is just at the beginning of the book and Milo's trying to decide what's happening to him. He's just met a group of people called the Lothargerians.
Okay.
I hope I've pronounced that right. Great shouts filled the air as the Lothargerians scattered in all directions and soon disappeared entirely.
Roar!
Exclaimed a dog as he dashed up to the car, loudly puffing and panting. Milo's eyes opened wide, for there in front of him was a large dog with a perfectly normal head, 4 feet and a tail, and the body of a loudly ticking alarm clock.
Oh.
What are you doing here? Growled the watchdog. Just killing time, replied Milo apologetically. You see, killing time, roared the dog so furiously that his alarm went off.
Oh.
It's bad enough wasting time without killing it. And he shuddered at the thought. Why are you in the doldrums anyway? Don't you have anywhere to go? I was on my way to Dictionopolis. There's lots of crazy places and crazy. Yeah.
Right.
When I got stuck here, explained Milo, can you help me? Help you? You must help yourself, the dog replied, carefully winding himself up with his left hind leg. Because he's a clock. I suppose you know why you got stuck. I suppose I just wasn't thinking, said Milo. Precisely, shouted the dog as his alarm went off again. Now you know what you must do.
I'm afraid I don't, admitted Milo, feeling quite stupid. Well, continued the watchdog impatiently, since you got here by not thinking, it seems reasonable to expect that in order to get out, you must start thinking. And with that, he hopped into the car. Do you mind if I get in? I love car rides. So it's, you know, it's just fun. It's a lot of fun. But also it's gently talking about, you know, if you're not happy, if you're lost a little bit. And, yeah, what words and learning can, they can, it can help you with that. It's, yeah, it's a great book.
I shall have to read that one as well.
Yeah.
Well, I just, I've brought along a couple of things. This is just a book that I keep in the shop, and it's The Illuminated Book of Days with illustrations by Kate Greenaway. So there's some lovely illustrations in it, and it was edited by Kay and Marshall Lee. And it is just, it is a book of days. So I often will have a look, see if there's anything to put, you know, up on Facebook or anything. So I thought I'd bring it along and just read a couple of things from March, just to tell you that in the ancient Roman calendar, the day was the 1st of March, this is, which is, this day was the Feast of Matronalia, when patrician women held feasts for their slaves.
Oh!
So not something we'd be doing now. Francis Bacon said, a dry March and a dry May portend a wholesome summer if there be a showering April between.
Right.
So, yes, as we're at the end of February just now, this will be going out in March. Yeah. Let's hope March is drier, because I'm sure I heard on the radio this morning that February is the wettest on record or something. This
really?
February, yes. Chaucer said, now, I'm not very good at Old English, but he said about March, when that March in which the world began, that height March when God first maked man.
In March?
Evidently.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know.
Has he got evidence for that?
I don't know, but there you are. And March was the beginning of the legal year in Great Britain and the colonies.
Oh, okay.
Until 1752. So there you are.
Yeah.
This for, and actually, the thing is, I think we should say, we are recording this on a day that will not be here next year.
No.
Because we're actually recording this on the 29th of February.
Yeah.
Which is a leap year.
Yeah.
That you'd be able to propose to Bree if you were not already married.
I know, yeah.
I
don't know where that came from.
I'm not planning to propose to anybody, so you can all be sigh of relief there. But yes, it's a leap year and there won't be another 29th of February in 4 years' time.
No, no. And anybody who's got a birthday today, happy birthday.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, we've got a friend who lives in the States. Whose birthday is
a leapling, they were calling on the radio this morning. And there is another thing here which now leads into the next book that I'm going to talk about, and it is Mad as a March Hare is an old saying. Hares are unusually shy and then wild in March because it is their rutting season. So that's why it's Mad as a March Hare.
Have you ever seen them? Have you ever seen boxing? Yeah.
No.
It's an amazing sight. I can remember where were we? Up past Newton Stewart on the back road to that lovely wood. What's the wood called?
Knockman's Wood?
Knockman's Wood. Huh? And it was some fields just before then. And it was evening and there was a mist sitting. And then all of a sudden, and they really do go for each other. It's crazy. You know, right. I was, because we were sort of sitting in the car just trying to, and I really wanted to go, stop it, because there was fur flying and everything.
Oh, no, really?
Crazy.
crazy. Yeah.
Because they're quite solitary. You think hares are like rabbits and they're not.
No.
They're like it. They look like a big rabbit, but their habits are completely different.
They don't
live in burrows, do they?
No.
And
no.
They don't. Yeah,
just little
big
fawns, is it called? The little hollow in the field. I'm shuggling.
Yes,
for everybody
you are
who's. Yeah,
yes.
I'm shuggling into my chair.
That's right. Yeah, and they are. They're very solitary creatures. Mm. No, they're fascinating. And I mean, for a while, it seemed like there were hares everywhere. There was a definite trend. There were lots of hares on cards and gifts and goodness knows.
Jewellery.
I don't know what started that, but and there are lots of lovely books about hares.
Mm.
And I was looking up a huge list of them. But actually, the one I wanted to mention was written by a local writer.
Yes.
Sally Hinchcliffe, who stays over in north of Dumfries. And she wrote a book called Hare House. And it was published by Pan Macmillan. And I think it was, I was going to say a couple of years. Yes, it was published in 2022 by Mantle, which is an imprint of Pan Macmillan. And this is, it's only Sally's second book. I think she does a lot of writing, and she used to be very much involved in a pop-up bookshop that used to celebrate local writers. And I'm trying to remember the name of it, and that's just terrible. It's gone out of my head. Anyway, with two other writers, they used to regularly hold across the region these pop-up bookshops. Anyway, the I'm trying to remember Sally's first book. Of course. Oh, here we are, thankfully. It was called Out of a Clear Sky.
Oh.
Which she wrote quite a number of years ago. And I remember reading that actually with a book group at Newton Stewart Library.
Mm.
And that's a bit of a kind of mystery. This is a mystery in a very different way.
Right.
It's, if you've not read it, Lou.
I've not read it, no.
It actually, you might enjoy it. It's got a feeling to it, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's a curious book, and it's like something that it kind of seeps.
See, I love books like,
well,
because
you may take this away and
a lot of people, when I talk about books, I sometimes don't remember the characters, possibly don't even remember the title or the plot. Honestly.
Yeah.
But it's a good book because,
it
grabs you and takes you into it. Yeah, I love a book like that. So,
So you might enjoy this. I enjoyed it. I read it, actually. Pan Macmillan very kindly sent me an advance copy.
Mm.
But I'll just read the blurb from the back. That's the easiest way to... it is described as both a gripping literary chiller and a beautiful evocation of a place held by its past. And I would say that is very true. So Hare House, in the first brisk days of autumn, woman arrives to make a new life in a remote corner of southwest Scotland, hoping to leave the secrets of her past behind. Moving into a cottage on the beautiful Hare House estate, she begins to explore her new home. Yet among the rolling moorland and the dark forests, something sinister is lurking. Local tales of witchcraft and young men sent mad, while strange things begin happening even in the full light of day. But is Hare House, with its strange display of taxidermy, and whose inhabitants have secrets of their own, a place of refuge or danger? As autumn turns to winter, a heavy snowfall traps everyone inside, and while the temperature outside drops below freezing, it isn't long before tensions within its walls rise to a fever pitch.
Ooh.
So it really is.
I'm definitely
think
going
you need
to
read that.
Yeah.
Lou. So that's Hare House by Sally Hinchcliffe. Was it a place of refuge or danger? And it also had lovely illustrations on the cover, which I think were carried through to the main book when it came out.
Mm.
But that's definitely one I would recommend. And about hares. And then finally, I just thought I'd bring a book from the box for our book from the box.
Oh,
which,
right.
See,
I had a book from the box.
Oh, have you got a book from the box?
No, not now.
Oh.
I got a book from the box. It was a lovely little, it wasn't a book. It was a,
oh.
a sorry. It was a book register.
Right.
Which I don't, it looked as though it dated from maybe the 1940s, 1950s. And it was for someone to keep a record of the books that they had at home,
right.
that they had read. It had parts for little comments.
Oh.
It was the sweetest little book. And I put it out in the shop and someone bought it today. So I haven't got my
Oh, and that
box.
What a lovely thing.
Yeah, it was lovely. But anyway, carry on.
Oh.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. So I've always been intrigued by this book. It came into the shop quite a long time
ago. I remember,
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's called, and I will have to put a picture of this up because you won't believe that it is actually a book. It's called The Penguin and the Vacuum Cleaner. It is a children's picture book.
Honestly,
it's a picture
it is a kid's book.
And it's The Penguin and the Vacuum Cleaner by Carolyn Sloan and pictures by Jill McDonald. And Josh the Penguin is convalescing at the home of Mr. Berg, the zookeeper, when he encounters a strange, noisy animal with a simply enormous appetite. But if enough is enough, even for a vacuum cleaner. So it's just such a funny title. And the illustrations are, I'm just trying to find when it was published because I was just about to say it's so much of its time. The illustrations, I hope to goodness it's the 70s because it really
it looks like
looks,
the 70s. But
it is.
Yeah.
It was first published by Kestrel Books in 1974.
Yeah.
And there's something, the illustrations remind me very much of a children's animation, and I've forgotten the name of that. It's like, oh. And I really didn't like it. Oh, Crystal Tips and Alistair.
Oh, did you not like Crystal Tips?
Didn't like Crystal Tips and Alistair.
Well,
and it reminds
really?
These illustrations remind me that they're incredibly cute as well, but they have something about that. And Mr. Berg is the
he's a very plump penguin.
Yes, he does seem to eat a lot of fish, but he's not very well. He's got the mumps. Do you remember when you used to get the mumps before the jab came in?
I got mumps. I can't remember having mumps.
Oh, I got mumps.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was, of course, you know, all babies are now inoculated.
Yeah, MMRs.
MMRs, mm. But yeah, in the olden days, you were liable to get mumps, and I did get them.
Was it horrible?
I don't remember feeling poorly. I just remember being ridiculed by my elder sister.
Oh, why?
Because
do you go...
Yes, it's to do with your glands, isn't it, or something?
I think so.
So you just blow up a bit a pufferfish.
I remember a friend of mine at school having mumps, and she came back and said she just got to eat a lot of ice cream.
Yes, because you got a very sore throat or
yeah,
something. But
so.
No, all I remember is being ridiculed.
Oh, lovely.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, so he's been looked after by Mr. and Mrs. Berg, and given a hot water bottle and everything. But yes, they have a vacuum cleaner, and yeah. So it's the encounter between the poor penguin and the vacuum cleaner. And I think he's trying to, it just seems to be hungry all the time. So he's feeding it he tips in a sugar bowl full of sugar and a packet of tea and a jar of currants. And the cleaner ate them all. So he gave it some rice, some cornflakes and half a pound of toffees. And still the cleaner hummed happily. And Josh was really worried. Mrs. Berg doesn't look after you properly, he said. You're starving. So he flip-flaps around the kitchen But evidently, it didn't want to eat the sardines, but it did eat some flour. And it just, of course, it eats all sorts of things. But then there's a hiccup. It blew a green flash, and with a sigh, it stopped eating.
Oh, no.
And Good said, "Josh, you've had enough."
No, he killed it.
Anyway, but anyway, you'll be pleased to know that in the end, he's recovered from the mumps.
Oh, good.
And he's put back with the rest of the penguins. But he just seemed to, he goes and, what's lovely is at the end, and there's a lovely illustration, I will have to put this up, is he goes and helps Mrs. Berg with the vacuum cleaner every Friday.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yes. But he's never forgotten the terrible time when he overfed his friend, and he's now very, very careful. But, you know, it's not the first thing that would come to mind when you sit down to write a children's book is the penguin and the vacuum cleaner.
No.
But, yes.
I wonder if it was a series.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, the penguin just was the variety
either,
of different...
Either other animals with the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, right.
Or
a penguin, yeah, with other
a penguin
household,
with other household appliances.
Appliances. A penguin on the washing machine.
Yeah.
The penguin and the toaster.
Toaster.
Yeah.
That would.
Yeah. Now it would be the penguin and the air fryer.
Oh, it would,
wouldn't
it?
That would be the latest book.
And the juicer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's some ideas there for you if you want to write a children's book.
No, I think you're fine. We'll leave it there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so we're looking forward to a mad march.
I know. Yeah.
But yes.
It'll calm down at the end, hopefully.
Yes. And yeah, let's hope it's a dry march so that we will have a
cracking summer.
Yes. Good. So thank you for listening. And yes, do subscribe. That helps us. And listen in again.
Thank you.